What's up, guys? So, obviously the tag team titles are cursed. I'm just kidding. But, like, not really. Anyway, as all of you probably already know and heard, thank you, TMZ, I have torn my left ACL last week on SmackDown in my match against Bianca and Charlotte. And obviously I will be out for an extended period of time due to the fact that I have to get surgery tomorrow. First and foremost, I want to say thank you to everyone who has sent their well wishes and, you know, messaged me and everything. I really appreciate it. And it means a lot. Obviously, you guys all know that I've been working the last 8+ years in the WWE and in my wrestling career to obtain a title of some sort. And I finally got my hands on the women's tag team titles with Chelsea, and I think we've been champs for 20-something days. So obviously it's super bitter to say that it's come to an end due to an injury, especially being that it's my first injury in wrestling or really in sports in general, and I've been a lifelong athlete since I was 5-6 years old. So obviously it's super disappointing and it couldn't have come at a worse time, but I don't really think any injury comes at a great time. And that's kind of just how the cookie crumbles. But what I will say is that my life has kind of been a journey of trials and tribulations, just how so many others have been. And we all go through ups and downs, but something that has kind of always been part of my character and who I am is I love being tested, and I love testing my willpower and my strength, and my mental and physical durability. So I feel like coming back from this injury, although it's unfortunate, I feel like it's going to give me a bigger motivation and just passion for what I already love doing, and that's being in the WWE. So I love you guys. I wanted to thank you guys for all your support and tell you that I'm going to be back sooner rather than later, and I'm going to be ready to put my hair up and square up.
Hey, Sonia, don't be upsetty. Eat the more spaghetti. Oh, what's up, everyone? It is August 7th, 2023. Raw just went off the air. I am an exhausted Don Tony. We have been on overload doing banger after banger after banger. Yesterday, my ass got numb doing multiple shows, but I am here. We're going to talk tonight mainly Raw. We're going to discuss, which might be a curse, on the Women's Tag Team Championships. Yeah, we opened up with that video. You got to feel for her, man. I mean, she has gone through some pretty rough shit in recent years. We don't need to remind everyone what went down her household. But now she finally gets her hands on a championship. And you know she worked her ass off to get it. And being the GM, you know, that was nice when she first returned. You get back into the swing of things. You hit your groove. You get a championship. And then you tore your ACL. She is going to be out likely until 2024. And I know some of you got upset with me during the day saying, DT, they haven't announced that it's being stripped as of yet. Yeah, I mean, we pretty much knew this afternoon that the titles were being stripped. Now, I will say this. I was told that they are planning to do a tournament. Not necessarily will it be brackets, but they will have qualifying matches. I hope they include NXT. No, there is nobody in NXT right now that I would even think about putting the titles on. But I think you got to at least put one tag team from NXT in this, especially the fact that they rid the women's tag team titles in NXT. And look, anybody that follows NXT on a weekly basis like I do, that women's tag team division is non-existent right now. But something else that has happened because of WWE's decision, there was only one women's championship to gun for in NXT. And yes, it's the minor leagues, but let me tell you something. It's a big pride factor to win any type of a championship, whether it's WWE, NXT, Indies. Being a champion is acknowledgement that you're doing something right. So the fact that Tiffany Stratton has that only belt that the women could hold on to, I think, you know, you reward. This is how you could reward some women in NXT that have no shot at getting any type of gold right now. Here's an opportunity. Maybe you give a team a match. I tell you, man, Lola Vice is starting to pick this shit up. You know, maybe not on Logan Paul levels, but wow, we were impressed how Tiffany Stratton a year ago started picking it up. Lola Vice, Jesus, is she nailing it. So, yeah, as you saw with Sonya's video, she tore ACL. Now, Chelsea Green, you got to feel bad for her as well. She was teasing earlier today that she still has the belts, but, yeah, they said it tonight, probably like at 10:45 p.m., that the titles are now vacant once again. So, you know, you got to feel for Chelsea Green. Remember, she was going to team up with Carmella, and then Carmella got pregnant, which is awesome. Then she teamed with Sonya Deville, and a lot of us early on thought like, this is not really going to click. Yeah, they're both complainers in their characters, but Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville, pretty damn good tag team. And they finally get the gold, and now they have to give it up. You think about Liv Morgan. You think about Raquel Rodriguez. I mean, she was cursed. So now we have no women's tag team championships. No champions right now. Now, we got to talk about something else. You definitely have to pay attention to this. No, I am not clickbaiting. That's why I put a giant question mark on the thumbnail. But we have to talk about it. Are the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships next to be stripped? Kevin Owens is out with a legitimate injury right now. An injury that, you know, is preventing him from even getting physically animated or involved during, you know, a match, you know, even outside the ring. He can't do it. Now, the injury is not extremely serious, but we saw something tonight on Raw that gave me flashbacks to 10 years ago, and it's almost 10 years to the day that this happened. Now, I'll paint the picture for anybody that did not watch Raw tonight. You know Finn Balor and Damian Priest have a lot of friction right now, a lot of animosity. This is going to come to a head. The SummerSlam review and aftermath that yours truly and Kevin Castle did last night, absolute banger, probably the best episode that we've done since we've reformed. But we talked about it yesterday, that don't be surprised that that briefcase is going to dig further, a wedge between Finn and Damian Priest, and who knows, it may lead to a match between the two for the briefcase. And J.D. McDonagh tonight, did they plant the seed that J.D. McDonagh may end up replacing Finn Balor in Judgment Day? J.D. McDonagh did something to Sami Zayn tonight that Finn Balor was unable to succeed, and that was injure Sami Zayn. Now, yes, Sami Zayn came out during the main event, and he got physically involved. But we saw a segment earlier where Finn was talking to J.D. McDonagh. Damian Priest shows up, and Damian is telling J.D. McDonagh, get out of here. This is Judgment Day business. And Finn is like, anything that you know you want to talk to me about, you could say it in front of him. And then we get a little bit more of a tease between Finn and Damian Priest falling out. Rhea Ripley tries to smooth things out. And then J.D. McDonagh makes the remark to Damian Priest and pisses him off and says, you know, I think this briefcase is putting a wedge between you two. Huh, interesting. That's what we said last night. Damian Priest is like, fuck is this guy? You're not Judgment Day. Get out of here. But later on, unprovoked, maybe it was Finn Balor's idea, or maybe JD McDonagh wants a spot in Judgment Day. He decides on his own to attack Sami Zayn. And then after the attack was done, we got this close-up of Sami Zayn's elbow. No, he is not double-jointed. This is not an Alexa Bliss situation. Sami Zayn has got a fucked-up elbow. And let me tell you something, that beatdown that JD McDonagh did looked great on TV. It's going to take a lot more to get the fans acclimated to JD McDonagh getting involved in this storyline. But when I said flashback to 10 years ago, this was 2013. Kind of looks the same, doesn't it? Look at Sami Zayn's elbow. Look at John Cena's elbow. Now, if you remember 2013, that elbow injury was due, I believe, to a torn tricep. Now, I don't know which came first. You know, it's not like, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg. But, you know, John Cena ended up getting surgery and was out several months. Sami Zayn had his elbow wrapped up tonight, and he was able to get physical in the main event. The problem is, that is a pretty serious injury. I don't know with Sami Zayn's offense how he can work through this. I don't know if this is possible. So now when you think about the fact that Kevin Owens is on the shelf, and you see that with Sami Zayn's elbow, you got to start asking yourself. You know, that's why I put it in the thumbnail. You know, the Women's Tag Team Championships were just made vacant because of Sonya's injury. Will the WWE Undisputed Tag Team Championships be next? And unfortunately, I think so. I think that there is a strong possibility, you know. And I know what some of you are going to say. Well, look at how little Roman Reigns defends his title. They can definitely, you know, wait a month or two. No. Yeah, it's going to get to a point where people are going to start really, really complaining. And not for nothing, it seems like this momentum with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn is starting to fizzle out as far as champions go. You know, they have lost non-title matches. They have lost six-man tag matches. You know, listen, WrestleMania was a beautiful moment. It was the right story. The outcome was what it exactly needed it to be. But we're now in August or September. Not every person who wins a belt needs to have a one-year run. Yes, title runs are cut short due to injury or change in contract situation, a la Ronda Rousey. But here you got to start thinking to yourself, okay, we got to figure out what we're going to do here. Because now the women's tag titles are on ice, and the men's tag titles right now are on ice. Nobody is defending tag titles. You know, and Roman Reigns, he's in the midst of the Bloodline feud, and on Friday SmackDown, we will see they're teasing Hail to the Chief. And listen, yesterday we had the conversation because it was brought up. People were asking us to address the reports going around that Roman Reigns was going to be off TV for the next few months. And that it was asinine, stupid. You know, we talked about it last night and said, you got to stop paying attention to these fools that are just trying to get even 35 cents of ad revenue. They're just going to put shit out there without using half a fucking brain. You got this Bloodline storyline. You got them touring India in a month. You got Payback coming up. You got Jimmy turning on Jay. You got Roman retaining. And people are going to clickbait that Roman, his schedule, there's nothing planned for TV for the next few months. I want to show you an example of what I'm talking about. A few of you brought this to my attention. Wrestle Ops, whatever the fuck that is. Look at how many views that got. Not 1,000, not 15,000, not even 200,000. It got 1.6 million views. And they're teasing, oh, Roman Reigns is not advertised for WWE TV for the next few months. Well, guess what, schmucks? Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, their TV schedule that we have showed on these shows, it only goes through into August. Nobody's TV schedule for September, October has been revealed yet. These people know exactly what they're doing. They're feeding this bullshit. But Roman Reigns will be on SmackDown Friday. Jimmy Uso will be on SmackDown Friday. And look, cheap plug, definitely check out our SummerSlam review, because our original discussion back in Money in the Bank, saying that sometime between now and Survivor Series, we're going to get a fatal four-way between the Bloodline. And what was the one thing that we had an issue with at Money in the Bank? How do you explain Jimmy and Jay fighting each other as part of a Bloodline fatal four-way for Roman's undisputed WWE Universal Championship? Obviously, something needed to happen. So now Jimmy does what he does at SummerSlam, and people immediately think he's back in the Bloodline. Not so fast. Not so fast. The story may be exactly what we thought it would be, that Jimmy is pissed off at Jay for caring more about becoming champion and dethroning Roman than Jimmy, his own twin brother, himself. So that's why Jimmy did what he did. There's no guarantee that Jimmy is returning to the Bloodline Friday. Jimmy might end up being his own person. While Jimmy's in the hospital, Jay's calling himself Main Event Uso. While I'm in the hospital not being able to work, you're on TV calling yourself the Main Event. That's why probably Jimmy did what he did. That doesn't mean Jimmy is back with Roman. That doesn't mean that he's back in the Bloodline. It's just Jimmy is fucking pissed off. He's pissed off at everybody. Now, all we need is Solo Sikoa to turn on Roman, or vice versa. And you know that shit's coming, because they have teased it a few times. Roman and Solo get a stare down. Roman stopping Paul Heyman from talking. Solo tells Paul Heyman last Friday on SmackDown, get out of the ring. And when Paul doesn't do it and Solo takes his eye off of Jay, he gets super kicked in the mouth. Solo Sikoa is going to push back against Roman Reigns soon. And then that should set the stage for the fatal four-way. But again, goes back to the tag team titles. Gunther and Austin Theory are the only ones that are pretty much active with their titles. And Seth Rollins, obviously. But Seth Rollins is pretty much trying to build a title that a lot of people like to sarcastically call a trinket title. Trinket. Secondary. You know, it's not, it's something that was created because Roman is so dominant right now. I think that's a little disrespectful, but yeah, I think Cody is doing a good job. And as you saw at the close of Raw tonight, Shinsuke Nakamura nails Seth Rollins, because we got payback coming up. Nakamura is sick and tired of being pushed around, not getting acknowledged. It's just business. Nakamura wants a shot at Seth Rollins' World Heavyweight Championship. That's the story. The dissension with Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins was extremely forced tonight, because if you remember, yes, they had a saga a year ago before Cody had to, you know, leave because of the torn pec injury that he had. But if you remember, even when Seth won the World Heavyweight Championship, you know, they kind of like twisted the storyline tonight, because Seth comes out there, interrupts Cody, who opened up Raw tonight, and, you know, Cody's in the ring. And let's be honest, we got rinse and repeat tonight. It's pretty much the same formula over and over again. Cody comes out there, and by the way, here's a little tidbit. Brock Lesnar acknowledging Cody in the ring was not planned. Triple H talked about it on the scrum. This was all Brock Lesnar on his own, and Cody didn't know he was going to do that and sold it beautifully. But Cody Rhodes also revealed today that when he went back to the locker room to thank Brock Lesnar, Brock Lesnar was nowhere to be found. That Brock Lesnar was gone. Now, as we joked yesterday, he probably wanted to go to the Jake Paul fight, but Cody was not insulted by it. What Brock did in the ring, words did not need to be spoken. They left it all in the ring. And if you remember last night, you know, we were shooting down the people online saying that Brock passed the torch to Cody Rhodes, which is one of the dumbest things that I've ever heard. Brock Lesnar don't pass no torch to nobody. Brock Lesnar acknowledged Cody. Yesterday, Kevin and I talked about another scenario where Brock Lesnar was toughening up Cody Rhodes, or we now call Cody Balboa, because this is like Rocky Balboa, you know, being the ultimate underdog. But Brock Lesnar strengthening, toughening up Cody Rhodes because Cody wasn't 100% ready for Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 39. So Brock toughened up Cody Rhodes for WrestleMania 40. And yesterday we said that this might be that storyline where Brock is getting Cody ready for Roman Reigns. Did you hear the little wording tonight when Cody said that he talked to his mother this morning and his mother said, "Hey, dummy, did you know what just happened in the ring? Brock Lesnar acknowledged you," shot at Roman Reigns. "After SummerSlam, I feel on top of the world. After SummerSlam, I can beat anybody in the world," shot Roman Reigns. Seth Rollins took it personal. He came out there. But when Seth Rollins said to Cody Rhodes, "When I won the World Heavyweight title, you were the first person to get in my face, so I decided to return the favor tonight," you know, that's not necessarily accurate because Cody Rhodes congratulated Seth Rollins. Cody Rhodes did not challenge him. Cody Rhodes did not besmirch Seth Rollins. Cody Rhodes acknowledged Seth Rollins and congratulated him. It kind of skewed a little bit. So to see Seth so incensed with Cody Rhodes tonight, I felt it was extremely forced. But we had rinse and repeat. So Cody's talking about Brock. He's talking about, you know, having the privilege and also having a nightmare of facing Brock at SummerSlam. And then Cody Rhodes is interrupted by Seth Rollins. And, you know, Seth Rollins looking like a smurf, you know, with those crazy boots once again. You know, it's part of his character, but, you know, how do you take him extremely seriously of being mad when he comes out like that? And the next thing you know, here comes the Judgment Day. "You don't run Raw. We run Monday Night Raw. You don't run Raw. We run." It's like Elmer Fudd. "We won Monday Night Raw." And then Damian Priest, "You don't dictate who fights who," because Seth told Cody, "Hey, if you feel like you could beat anybody in the world, how's about stepping up to me?" And then the Judgment Day show up and Damian Priest is like, "We dictate. I dictate. This briefcase dictates it." No Finn Balor at this time, but ultimately Finn Balor will show up. Finn Balor lays out Seth Rollins, and then Sami Zayn shows up and we have the main event set up for later on. Sami Zayn, Cody Rhodes, and Seth Rollins versus the Judgment Day. As we talk week after week after week, this is like rinse and repeat. The only difference is you might use, you know, a different fabric softener this week or maybe a little different detergent, but it's the same template every week. Tonight, a little different, obviously, because of Sami Zayn's elbow injury. And that is definitely something that needs to be a concern, as we said earlier. Don't need to repeat myself again. But this is to set up the main event later on. So JD McDonagh lays out Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn cannot compete. Now, you know, interesting, especially since Vince McMahon is recovering from spinal surgery. Yes, he could still talk. He's, you know, laid out on his bed, pretty much bedridden, and he's talking conference calls and he's dictating creative. But doesn't it feel interesting that the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it feels like Bronson Reed that they're kind of like, you know, we're not keeping him this unstoppable. Ever since he became big, it's almost like that Tom Hanks movie. Like, he wasn't really big. He was a little kid like Bronson Reed. As soon as they gave him the big moniker, he's starting to lose. But tonight, he takes on Nakamura, and Nakamura beats him. You know, and listen, Nakamura, you know, his resume speaks for itself. It's an impressive win. But, you know, at this point now, it feels like Bronson Reed. I don't know where they're going with this, but Nakamura already wrestled tonight. His match with Bronson Reed was not 90 seconds. It actually went for a while. Because remember something, the first hour of Raw tonight was no commercials. Now, they did air commercials at 55 minutes in, but if you notice tonight, some of these commercial breaks were twice as long. This is not Four Horsemen that I'm doing. Instead of having a two-minute commercial break, we had a four-minute commercial break twice. So even though the first hour was commercial-free, they made up for that shit later on. But Nakamura and Bronson Reed were battling during the commercial break. So, you know, Nakamura did double duty tonight. He earned his paycheck. So he beats Bronson Reed. And when Sami Zayn got injured, Shinsuke Nakamura showed up, and Shinsuke Nakamura proposed to Seth Rollins, let me be your partner tonight. And he ends up being his partner. And they have a great match. Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, Nakamura defeat the Judgment Day. More antics, more tonight, really putting that briefcase involvement on steroids, let's be honest. And that briefcase is the storyline now between Finn Balor and Damian Priest. You know, even when they came out for their match, I think I took a screenshot earlier. If you look at Damian Priest, this is kind of like Shades of Evolution. You remember when Triple H used to come out for Evolution and Ric Flair would be walking like 30 feet behind him? I mean, it wasn't that exaggerated tonight, but Damian Priest, he's standing in front of everybody and Finn Balor is walking from behind. So Nakamura, after the match is over, decides, you know what? I'm going for mine. He lays out Seth Rollins. Now we know who the next challenger is for Seth Rollins' championship. Cody Rhodes, though, we don't know. And some people are a little nervous because of a little remark that Damian Priest said to Cody Rhodes tonight. If you picked up on it, Damian Priest said to Cody that Dirty Dom is not done with you yet. And people are like, oh, God, come on. You know, we just had Cody take on Brock Lesnar. Kevin and I had a great conversation about this yesterday. There's a lot of people saying that Bray Wyatt is going to feud with Cody Rhodes. And as much as I love Bray Wyatt, and Bray Wyatt, I bought more memorabilia from Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family in the last 5 years than anybody else. And I will even tell you, I do not want Bray Wyatt anywhere near Cody Rhodes. Bray Wyatt, Uncle Howdy, White Rabbit, QR codes, everything that they did ended up being a major flop. A lot of people think that Bray Wyatt fucked up LA Knight, pushed him back a bunch of notches. Can you imagine? As much as we want to see Bray Wyatt 100% physically and mentally, as much as we are big fans of Bray Wyatt, not all of you, but I know some of you are, you cannot take that risk of having Bray Wyatt feud with Cody Rhodes, and if Bray flops, that hurts Cody Rhodes' momentum. You have to be extremely careful how you tread forward now with Cody Rhodes. Now, Randy Orton, people are saying he's still far from returning. I don't know. That is, you know, up in the air. But you got to start thinking to yourself, who on this roster? Could it be Edge? I know Edge is celebrating 25 years in 2 weeks, and I know he's a SmackDown guy, but could it be Edge? Could it be, you know, you got to start thinking about this, but Bray Wyatt is not the answer. Hell no. Definitely no. So Seth is now set with Shinsuke. Cody Rhodes, though, we don't know at this point. So, all right. Yeah, I want to show you a tweet that Finn Balor posted earlier today. And I'm not trying to shit on Finn Balor. But, you know, when you actually, like, take a step back and think about what he said, it really doesn't make much sense. Finn Balor writes on Twitter that sometimes a defeat is a secret ingredient for success. Now, if you follow the storyline, Finn Balor has had 7 years of defeat and, you know, just absolute torture. So, you know, if it didn't work for you, if those defeats over 7 years was not a recipe for success, why would one loss at SummerSlam suddenly be that? So I know it sounds good on paper, but, you know, when you really think of the storyline, it really doesn't make sense. Look at the Tribal Combat. Look at Tribal Combat. I'm not going to do a review here, but Tribal Combat, you know, we joked about it on Saturday, and I said it in passing. I said, this is the Viking rules. This is what the match is, Viking rules. Remember the Viking rules in the Alpha Academy match? And it ended up being, there are no rules. This was just a glorified no DQ match. No elders, no face paint, no tribal props. You know, if the elders proposed this between Jay and Roman Reigns, don't you think the elders should be having a fucking coronary right now after what Jimmy did to Jay? What do the elders propose right now? The elders propose tribal combat between Jey Uso and Roman Reigns, and Jimmy Uso fucks everything up. So what do the elders say? All right, elders, what do you say about that? Here, I see you and I raise you. I raise you, Anus. Surprised how many people feel that the tribal combat was a little bit of a letdown. It was just like, maybe no DQ in Samoan means tribal combat. Seriously. Some people were telling us yesterday live, they were telling us what, you know, Dai is in Samoan, and don't ask me why that came up. You have to tune into the recap to know. But maybe no DQ in Samoan is tribal combat. Hey, Afa, how do you say no DQ in Samoan? Tribal combat. Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you. And yeah, again, you know, I look back on it and you got to watch Raw to see what I'm talking about. When Sami Zayn hit the ring and when Sami Zayn was in the back, when Cody and Seth were pushing this like exaggerated disdain for each other and he's playing Peacemaker, you know, I rewound some of the parts back and I'm like trying to look at his elbow and I'm like, did his elbow get fucked up like before today? Or did maybe something just happen in the JD beatdown? And, you know, I mean, it was very convenient. It was very convenient after the JD beatdown, he has his elbow up like this. You know, like, I something tells me he was injured going into this. And they just hit it well. They hit it well. And you know what? If you actually, you know what? I just figured it out. If you look at John Cena's photos, and you look at Sami Zayn's photos, what do they all have in common? Look at all the John Cena photos from 2013. The arm is bent. The arm is bent. The arm is bent. So when they straighten it out, you don't see the bulge. But as soon as they bend the arm, pop, pop goes the weasel. So that's probably what happened. Sami Zayn made sure not to bend the arm because as soon as you bend the arm, it looks like something, you know, you have something in your pocket or you're happy to see me. So, all right. Something else that happened today that was pretty damn cool. And it was a little scary moment mixed in as well. We knew earlier in the day that there was going to be a fatal four-way to determine a new number one contender for Gunther's championship. So one thing that you got to give, and by the way, the four participants in the Fatal 4-Way was Ricochet, Chad Gable, Matt Riddle, Tommaso Ciampa. Okay, so we have those four guys. One thing that WWE has done very good with over the last year, I don't know if you give this credit for Triple H, Vince, combination thereof, one thing that they have been really good about is they are paying attention to the fans and how they're reacting to people. Let me put it this way. I think we all agree that if Rusev Day would be happening now, that Rusev probably would have been pushed a hell of a lot further. back at that time. What was the story that they said that Vince said to Rusev? You know, they're not cheering for you. They're not. They're like mocking you. They're like he didn't think it was serious. Like they were. No, man, you go with what's popular. They are paying attention to LA Knight. They paid attention with Zelina Vega. They paid attention, you know, with some others. Sami Zayn. When everybody fell in love with Sami Zayn, they ended up going in places with Sami and the Bloodline. Paul Heyman has said it. A lot of people have said it. In the early stages, they never thought that Sami Zayn's part in this would ever get big. Sami Zayn at some points was the biggest part of the Bloodline storyline. And he got rewarded with Elimination Chamber. And he unfortunately lost to Roman Reigns, but that was the right call. So now people are really getting attached to Chad Gable. WWE picked up on it. Last week, Chad Gable withstands 5 minutes with Gunther, which, you know, if you think about it, no one has been able to have any type of accomplishment over Gunther outside of a tag match. But Chad Gable withstands him, and the fans are into Chad Gable. So we get the match tonight. Chad Gable wins. Now, not going to get into all in a match, but Chad Gable is from Minneapolis, which is where they were tonight. When Cody Rhodes was putting over Brock Lesnar, he was bringing him how Brock Lesnar is from Minneapolis. So, you know, Brock got a big pop from the crowd. He wasn't there live, but, you know, just the topic of Brock Lesnar. And you know what? If you look at the fan footage from yesterday, SummerSlam, Brock was shaking hands with people, giving high fives. He even at one point took a kid's hat, put it on, and then threw it back at the kid. You know, Brock seemed like he was having fun. But Chad Gable tonight gets the win. And in case you were wondering, that was Chad Gable's kid. That was a cute little moment. He's got a little Gable, and his family was at ringside, and he picked up his son, ran around the ring, and you got to feel good for Chad Gable right now. And while this is all going on, Gunther is in the back, and he's got this grin on his face like, oh, yeah, you have no fucking shot against me. I'm going to beat the living shit out of you. Gunther, you see, he's like drooling. He's like, oh, yeah, I got fresh meat, man. So, and Gunther versus Chad Gable is going to be a banger because you know how good Chad Gable is wrestling in the ring. You know, will it be on the level of Ilya versus Gunther? Probably not. But this will probably be the most important match in Chad Gable's singles career in WWE. Now, of course, online, you see, you know, the people getting thousands of likes. Oh, Chad Gable is the ultimate babyface. If anybody could dethrone Gunther, what an epic moment. How awesome would it? No! No! Gunther's making history. Everybody's got to have this warm, oh, I get to have marshmallows with my hot chocolate every single day. Oh, Sami Zayn should have dethroned Roman Reigns at Elimination Chamber. Oh, hear me out. Oh, your unpopular opinion, Zelina Vega should have beat Rhea Ripley in Puerto Rico. Even if she just had to run for one day, could you imagine the pop? This would have been something that we would have remembered until we were 95 years old. Oh, in Saudi Arabia, Mustafa Ali, even though he's not from Saudi Arabia, but he's kind of like them. And he should have beat Gunther that night. And how awesome would that have been for Mustafa Ali? They got to have marshmallows in their hot chocolate. Hot chocolate every day is not enough. I need marshmallows. I need that warm, fuzzy feeling. People were angry today because of this. I got to show you this. People were angry today because of this. Io Sky was on the front page of the Japanese newspaper winning the WWE Championship. How awesome is that for Io Sky? How beautiful is that for Io Sky? This isn't a wrestling newspaper. This is a major newspaper in Japan. And she is on like 90, her picture's about 90% of the front cover. So, why were enough people angry tonight? Because that same fucking newspaper did not do that for Hikaru Shida. Yeah. Go look it up. Go look it up. You know how many times I start tweeting a nasty, nasty, nasty thing that I want to make people cry at their just absolute garbage that they write? And then I delete it, and I'm like, why am I wasting my time? I mean, honestly, X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, that's never going to get better. You know, when we get a tragedy, somebody does themselves in. We got to be careful how we word things. I'm learning. Somebody does themselves in. Somebody gets bullied. Oh, we got to be better. You know, we all got to step up. You know, oh, we got to be. At the end of the day, we're all wrestling fans. And it's a. And then 3 weeks later, it's back to the same nasty shit. So it's never going to get better. But people are mad today because that newspaper did not give the same love to Karashita. Unbelievable. All right. So we talked about Sonya. We talked about Chelsea. We talked about, obviously, the Sami Zayn situation. One scary moment in the Fatal 4-Way today, and I got the video I want to show you. They did a spot where Ricochet was sitting on the top rope, and Matt Riddle goes to hit Ricochet with a German suplex. Before Matt Riddle could execute it, Tommaso Ciampa shows up. Tommaso Ciampa grabs Riddle, and he wants to do the German suplex and pull Riddle back, who pulls Ricochet back, and all three fall. Now, I don't know if it was Chad Gable's fault or Tommaso Ciampa's fault, but you could have walked the dog, made a hot pocket, take a shit, shave, maybe shower, and I know I'm exaggerating, and Chad Gable still didn't hit the ring. Like, Ciampa is holding Riddle, and Riddle is like this, like looking, and you're saying to yourself, where's Gable? And then finally, Chad Gable hits the ring, pulls on Ciampa, who pulls on Riddle, who pulls on Ricochet, and we get the triple German suplex. But Ricochet landed on his face, and he was out of the match for a little while, and people were concerned that he got legitimately injured in this. Now, he would get back in the match a short while later, and he obviously didn't win. But I want to show you in slow motion. And for anybody on audio, I mean, you could just go on social media and see the move. But this is the move. I put it in slow motion. Just watch Ricochet's head. People thought that he landed on his head. I mean, when you watch it in full speed, it looks scarier. But when you watch it in slow-mo, just watch Ricochet's head. He just lands face first. So, you know, when you take spots and you fall a little bit differently, even though you're not hurt, you have the wherewithal to know that you say to yourself, wow, that probably looked amazing on TV. I got to sell this for a little while. You know, and that's what stars do. They can tell that a spot that they did might have looked a little bit, you know, worse than what it was, and they'll sell it. But Ricochet, that was a scary moment. You watched that in full speed. But in the end, Chad Gable gets the win. He celebrates around ringside with his son, majorly over with the hometown Minneapolis crowd. And Gunther, smiling, smirking, something stupid. Listen, I am not going to criticize Michael Cole and Wade Barrett. If you missed my Saturday show, we talked about it Saturday on the Don Tony show. Michael Cole and Wade Barrett are now your commentators on Raw. Kevin Patrick, his oxygen tank, Corey Graves will be on SmackDown, and Michael Cole, for the time being, will also be on SmackDown. So you will have a three-man team, and on Raw we have Wade Barrett and Michael Cole. I loved it tonight. But, you know, when you think about some of the things that were said, I mean, there's still some WWE stupidity mixed in, as we talked about earlier. I'll give you another one. People are laughing at the oxygen tank. Come on. We talked about it like the first night that we heard Kevin Patrick doing play-by-play on Raw. He's a nice guy. You look at his background. He's a good guy. You root for him. He's likable. But he sounds like he just had sex for 9 hours. He's always out of breath. He always sounds like he's a smoker. He's got emphysema. And now he's on SmackDown. Can you imagine when Roman Reigns comes out every week? this guy's going to have a fucking coronary. So you need Michael Cole there to basically pick up the slack. So, they said something tonight that it caught my eye that I thought was a little stupid. Otis. They're back to Otis. But Otis is taking on Ludwig Kaiser, who was bad-mouthing him earlier. Yesterday we talked about Alpha Academy and Imperium being the next feud. But they have a match later on. And Michael Cole says something like, Maxxine Dupri is at ringside. Chad Gable, who is not at ringside because he won the Fatal 4-Way match earlier. I'm like, yeah, and why is he not at ringside? He actually said Chad Gable is not at ringside because he won the Fatal 4-Way. What did he do, go to Disney World? Like, why couldn't he come out there? He came out there when there was a post-match beatdown. I thought that was kind of stupid. But what ends up happening, Maggie says, I'm on fire tonight. Hey, I'm just reiterating what I saw and, you know, just having fun. I'm a little overtired, I'm not going to lie, but I'm just having fun. But Otis does the caterpillar, and the crowd is into it. And the next thing you know, Giovanni Vinci distracts the referee. Gunther kicks Otis in the head. Then Ludwig Kaiser kicks Otis in the head as well. Ludwig Kaiser gets the pin. Then it was an interesting, awkward moment. Did you see it with Maxxine Dupri? She's looking at Ludwig Kaiser, and Ludwig Kaiser, I think he thought he saw some wiener schnitzel. You saw him looking at Maxxine Dupri? It looked like he looked at her like it was wiener schnitzel with like sauerkraut, like hot, fresh cooked. He was eyeing her up. And she was like a little bit like in a trance. And then, Otis is getting beat down. And Chad Gable makes the save. So, Gunther, Chad Gable, a little stare down. Gunther, a little smirk. Gunther, the story is Gunther is not taking Chad Gable seriously. That's going to be the story going forward. The crowd is heavy behind Chad Gable. I'm happy for Chad Gable getting this opportunity. But you're not going to ruin history for Gunther. Gunther will become the longest reigning intercontinental champion of all time. Sorry, Chad Gable does not dethrone Gunther. Ain't happening, shouldn't happen. I don't care how fuzzy it feels inside. You know, a lot of these people that say that, and I don't mean to be an extra asshole tonight, but a lot of people that say that, you know how I could compare it to? When they say, oh, Sammy should have beat Roman at El Chamber, and Zelina should have beat Rhea in Puerto Rico, and Ali should have beat Gunther. These people that say this, and now are saying that Gable should beat Gunther, these are the type of people, that feeling that they talk about is like going to a club, and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're pissed drunk. And you just want to be with somebody tonight, anything. And you're just drunk and it's late. And there's some, you know, mastodon sitting at the table who's by themselves. Yeah, I'm kind of like reminiscing 1991. But somebody that's sitting by the table and you take them home because you're not going home with blue balls tonight. So you have a fling. And at night you have that warm, fuzzy feeling inside. You know, you finally got to, you know, get some. And then the next day, you're like, what the fuck did I do the night before? Jesus Christ, what did I do? That would have been the next day when you realize we fucked up Gunther's reign so Ali could have a moment. We fucked up the Tribal Chief's historic reign because Sammy was in Canada in a chamber. Like, you got to think about the next day. LA Knight with the briefcase. LA Knight with the briefcase for 7 months. For 7 months, I sat back and I laughed, and I'm like, and if he wins the briefcase, what is he going to do? Is he going to, excuse me, Bloodline, I know you're feuding, but Roman, don't forget about me. I mean, you think LA Knight was going to interact with Roman? You think LA Knight was, who got drafted to SmackDown, was going to suddenly appear on Raw every week and torment Seth Rollins for that championship that didn't exist until a little bit later on? LA Knight winning the briefcase, then he gets it, and then you're like, well, now what? Well, I guess he'll have to challenge Austin Theory for the United States Championship because he ain't beating Roman. He ain't beating Seth. He ain't challenging either one of them. All right. Reel myself back in. Do you know they mentioned tonight that Brock Lesnar never acknowledged someone in a match like that? You know, like he did with Cody. I don't know why that sounds incorrect. I'm not going to go in retrospect look at the finishes of all of Brock Lesnar's big-time matches, but you almost feel like at one point Brock had to have acknowledged somebody, showed a little respect to somebody. I got to think about this, but, you know, maybe I'm wrong. All right, so we had another surprise tonight. The Miz is in the back, and apparently Miz is ordering sushi. I don't know, some woman shows up I've never seen before, and she tells him he's got to wait for some reason. And we're saying to, you know, like, what does he have to wait for? He looks, the Miz looks to the right, and here's LA Knight doing a photo shoot. You know, and he's wearing his usual garb. And, you know, the funny thing about it was, if you watch The Miz looking sideways and he sees LA Knight doing a photo shoot, I thought it was kind of funny because he won the Battle Royal, which was awesome. But he didn't win anything physical with it. Was he posing with a Slim Jim? Like, it's not like he won a title where he's posing with the title or he's posing with a briefcase or he's posing with a trophy. He's just standing there. And Miz feels insulted. So Miz hits the ring and he's pleading his case with the WWE Universe. You know, what happened to giving industry leaders the proper respect? And Miz said something that kind of, you know, hit home for me, where he nailed this. And this is legit. This is absolutely legit. I don't know if it's the same now in pro wrestling. Maybe some of you out there who are involved in indie wrestling, you know, you let me know. Or even some of those who work behind the scenes for the major companies. I'm curious if it's still done today. But even when I was doing some shit for a couple of promotions and doing some manager stuff, you know, 10 plus years ago, one thing that the mass maniac taught me early on, and even, like, you know, a couple of times when I was in the school and VPW, and even Matt Stryker, who was training people, one of the things that you were taught right away was, when you go in the locker room, it doesn't matter if it's a 150-pound scrub that is just barely breaking into the business, or if it is a Hall of Famer, you walk up to every single person and you introduce yourself. Hi, how's it going? My name is Anthony. Hey, how you doing? My name is Anthony. Hey, nice to meet you. You go up to everybody. And if you remember, I don't remember the name of the documentary. It had something to do with Abdullah the Butcher. It's got to be like 10 years old. But there was a YouTube documentary, something with Abby. And if you watch that documentary, you'll see me in there, and you'll see even one point where I'm on the side. I'm like, and you see me going up to like two or three people and shaking their hands. Hey, how you doing? But that is legit when Miz was saying that. And he obviously exaggerated tonight, and he said that when he went at it with LA Knight, that LA Knight did not introduce himself. So this proceeds to bring out LA Knight. LA Knight extends his hand. Miz says no. Miz says, you strip everything from me, my wife, my career, everything else, and what you have left is LA Knight. And he talks about his 20-year career, the Miz. And I got to be honest with you. I know some of you will agree with me when I say this. It is not obviously on that level, but it was not that far off. When Miz went on that rant to LA Knight, talking about how he still takes personal everything that he does, and he talks about the early days to now, he was getting cheered. Even to the point where LA Knight started laughing. He's like, hey, you gained a few fans. I started getting flashbacks of talking smack when The Miz ate up and spit out Daniel Bryan. The Miz gets on these rolls, and he fucking nails it. And honestly, at some point tonight, I think it kind of like pushed or kind of like rattled L.A. Knight a little, because L.A. Knight stumbled a little on his words. And listen, with all fairness, I guarantee you L.A. Knight, as confident as he is, had no idea that he would be this over and this center of attention like he is right now. And I will say this, I thought it was cute tonight. The same goofs that were saying, why is the Judgment Day on SmackDown? Why is the Judgment Day on NXT? They were coming in their pants today when LA Knight showed up on Raw. See the point? When it's somebody you like, it's beautiful. It's epic, amazing, unbelievable. Look at the hairs on my arms. They're erect. But when it's someone that you're not extremely keen upon, or you don't like the way WWE Creative is handling them, or why they on SmackDown, they're a Raw wrestler. What the fuck was the sense of the draft? But tonight, everybody got that warmy, fuzzy feeling inside. And by the way, for my fellow New Yorkers, if you are interested, Tuesday, the 8th of August. Oh, wrong one. Wrong tweet. No. Sorry, wrong tweet. Let me pull it up. I got it. Here it is. I come prepared. LA Knight will be at Citi Field throwing out the first pitch for the Mets game. Tomorrow, August 8th. I think they're playing the Cubs. So for anybody that might be interested, LA Knight will be at Citi Field here in New York. So I just figured I'd share that. But LA Knight gets the mic, and he starts explaining his last 20 years. And basically what LA Knight says is that, Miz, the reason why you got everything you got is because you were safe. WWE could step on you. WWE could abuse you, and you took it. Me, though, if they did that shit to me, I ain't letting it happen. So that's why The Miz went as far as he did, because he allowed WWE to use and abuse him and, you know, treat him however they wanted, and he just stood there and took it and took it and took it. And LA Knight with a nice little dig saying that WWE also bet on a lot of the wrong horses. But now LA Knight is here. LA Knight thinks he is on Miz's level, wants to surpass Miz. Miz claims that he is the main event. And LA Knight issues a challenge to Miz. Miz backs off. And Miz, you know, first he takes his jacket off and everybody thinks we're going to get a little brawl. Then Miz starts backing off and we think that Miz is chicken shit getting out of the ring, but he goes and tries to attack LA Knight, and this allows LA Knight to hit the blunt force trauma. And everybody in the crowd is going nuts. So now the question is, do we get Miz versus LA Knight next Monday on Raw, or do we get Miz versus LA Knight on SmackDown? You know, a lot of us think that LA Knight and Austin Theory is going to be the next feud. But remember the interaction with Grayson Waller and Miz at SummerSlam. Kevin and I were focused on it yesterday. We think Miz and Grayson Waller would be epic. Like two ultimate assholes coming together. That would be epic. It's almost like, you know, how do you want to die? You want to be shot? You want to be stabbed? You know, it's like you got the two biggest assholes and they come together. So if Miz takes on LA Knight on SmackDown, maybe Grayson Waller gets involved and then segues to Grayson Waller and LA Knight having a feud. I think that might be a little bit too soon. I think people would prefer to see LA Knight go at it with Austin Theory, but you know that LA Knight's going to be having a match with The Miz very, very soon. So a couple other things that went down on Raw tonight. And yeah, we're going to start bringing it home because I'm exhausted, but we definitely don't want to. We don't want to jip anybody tonight. We want to get into everything, and yeah, we could close out that Roman Reigns tweet earlier. Oh, I'll show you another cute little tweet. In the post media scrum, Paul Heyman talking about the Bloodline said that they're only in the bottom of the third inning, which, you know, Kevin and I were not thrilled about, even though we think Paul Heyman was exaggerating a little bit. But little tweet that you might get a kick out of, Jacob Fatu, who a lot of people think is going to get involved in this bloodline storyline. All he tweeted was bottom of the third inning. So now he's got a lot. Just think about that. Jacob Fatu couldn't even get half of the views that bullshit website did, you know, clickbaiting about Roman Reigns not being on TV for the next few months. Just let that sink in. But I figured I'd show you that tweet. You might not have seen it. So, Becky Lynch. And I thought this was cool. And listen, a little polite reminder. Because I know not every single one of you is going to end up checking out the SummerSlam replay, no matter how many times I recommend it. But I'll say this. You know, we had a little conversation about Sheamus yesterday. And I'm going to say it here in a very polite way. People online are not stupid. They know Sheamus is shooting because it's going to ultimately lead with some interaction with the bloodline. Sheamus, who is a veteran, who is a future WWE Hall of Famer, who just got married, who has a very nice contract with WWE, is not going to start legitimately shooting on Roman Reigns and bad-mouthing the biggest breadwinner for that company. And you got people, I mean, you can't say blue check marks anymore because, you know, you have Twitter blue, you got a blue check mark. But you have, like, legit podcasters and writers that are actually reporting Sheamus as if he's legitimately bitching about WWE right now. My friends, that is leading to storyline. People actually are reporting that Sheamus is ripping Roman Reigns. And it's ridiculous. But Becky Lynch, when Triple H, and Becky and Trish knew before that week that they were not having a match at SummerSlam for various reasons. Obviously online, people are only going to push the reasons that give the emotional reaction. You give a legit common sense answer, nobody wants to hear that. People want to be triggered because then it gives them a reason to say, fuck you, WWE. Fuck you, Triple H. We want more for the women. You know, fuck this person. Fuck Lufisto. Fuck everybody. Fuck. But when Triple H in the press scrum said, sometimes when you're given lemons, you got to make lemonade out of it. So Becky Lynch on a Twitter showed herself with a bunch of lemons in, I guess, her house, and she was making lemonade. So at Raw tonight, Becky Lynch comes out, and she's cutting a promo, hyping up her match against Trish next week. She gets interrupted by Zoe Stark. And, you know, Trish putting over that, you know, the biggest star from yesteryear versus the biggest star of today going to face each other, this and that. Zoe Stark comes out. And they get a little bit of a confrontation. And Zoe Stark is going to be banned from ringside in the match with Trish. Obviously, that'll backfire. And the falling out between Trish and Zoe will almost be complete that we've talked about in recent weeks. But this leads to Shayna Baszler. Shayna Baszler comes out. And for those that don't know, Shayna Baszler legitimately suffered some injuries in her fight with Ronda Rousey. That is legit. We're not going to talk about the match here, but there's a reason why WWE should never do MMA matches again. Unless you're going to let the people go balls out and legitimately beat the fuck out of each other, you cannot water it down like they did. And that match, unfortunately, disappointed, and it's a shame. But Shayna Baszler comes out there and she's selling, you know, she's showing the after effects. Her eye is swollen shut and her arm is still pretty banged up. She gets in Zoe Stark's face and the crowd is cheering for Shayna Baszler. And this leads to a tremendous match tonight. Shayna Baszler, which, you know, you're used to seeing her with the Kirifuda clutch. But tonight, it was a little bit different. Shayna Baszler basically taking a page out of Ronda Rousey, Ronda's Piper's Pit. Shayna Baszler, wins without the Kirifuda clutch. I don't know if that's a shift, because they're trying to show Shayna Baszler more as a babyface. If you remember last night's show, we want to see Shayna versus Rhea Ripley. We think that would be a nice interest. Now, they're obviously going to go with Raquel Rodriguez, especially after what we saw on Raw tonight, which I'll get to in a moment. But Shayna Baszler put on a banger with Zoe Stark tonight. Shayna Baszler with the win. But during the match, Becky Lynch is at the commentator's table, and she's drinking lemonade. And it was funny because, again, this is all about Triple H's remark. Sometimes when you're given lemons, you got to make lemonade. So she's drinking lemonade. Wade Barrett's drinking lemonade. It looked good. It actually looked good. It didn't look like, you know, they really went out and made some nice lemonade from it. But in the end, you know, Shayna Baszler gets the win. A little bit later on in the night, we get a little stare down in the back. Becky, who is about to talk about a match next week, gets interrupted by Shayna Baszler. And Shayna says to her, listen, now since I'm done with Ronda Rousey, I have a whole list of people that I'm going for. And sooner or later, I'm going to get the man. And Becky is like, I'm looking forward to it. So this is something that we'll probably see in the near future. Becky Lynch versus Shayna Baszler. But again, you know, seeing Shayna Baszler, you know, getting pins without the Kirifuda clutch, you know, something you might have to get used to a little bit. So, but she gets the win on Zoe Stark. We had a return today. And Fightful posted it this afternoon. I know most of you were aware of it already, but it was still a nice surprise on TV. And honestly, stick a fork in the Viking Raiders. Seriously, I have nothing against them personally. I don't know how they recover from this. We get another pointless video where the Viking Raiders are like in front of like fire or something. And they're talking about, you know, their next victim. You know, and I'm like, it would have been better if they just brought them out for a match. But they do this hype video beforehand to get you in that mood. And then literally 5 seconds later, Valhalla is here. They go to the ring and they issue an open challenge. They issue an open challenge, and believe it or not, the open challenge is answered by the New Day. Kofi Kingston is back. Welcome back, Kofi Kingston. And not only did they put on a great match, and Kofi has not missed a beat. And towards the end of the match, Kofi dives to the outside onto Eric, obviously testing the foot, the ankle, testing the leg, and no problems at all. And this allowed Xavier Woods to hit the flying elbow to get the pin on Ivar. So the New Day defeat the Viking Raiders. And you're saying to yourself, yeah, it just the Viking Raiders, I honestly don't know where you go from here. I really don't know where you go from here with them. But it's, listen, the New Day, I don't see them going for the tag titles, obviously. They've had their share with them. But it's going to be interesting to see what they do with the New Day next. I don't want to revisit the Viking Raiders. We saw it on SmackDown. Didn't work all that well. We saw it on Raw tonight. Be done with it. Will they feud with in this year? Will they feud with Imperium? Will they feud with the Alpha Academy? But there are enough tag teams to keep it fresh and interesting. So that leaves us with the main event tonight. Now, as I said earlier, we had Finn Balor with JD McDonagh. Damian Priest wants to talk business with Finn Balor. Finn Balor says JD McDonagh could stick around. And they start getting in each other's face. And this, you could feel this at home. Because Damian Priest just looks at Finn Balor and he says, you know, you're invading my space. And, you know, he's pissed off. So Rhea Ripley shows up. And Rhea Ripley is trying to smooth things out. And this is like rinse and repeat from a couple of weeks ago. If you remember, Damian Priest Finn Balor not on the same page. Rhea Ripley is like, you know, if we want to still dominate Raw, we got to put our you know, issues aside. You know, are we? And Damian Priest, once again, talking Spanish. He's fine with it. Finn Balor is fine with it. They come out to the main for the main event. And before the main event could start, right now it's about 10:35 in the evening, so we got plenty of time. And it did feel a little extra early today, but then you had Raquel Rodriguez show up. And she just beats the shit out of Rhea Ripley. Not enough to stop Rhea Ripley from being a ringside, I might add. But earlier in the night, there's a trainer with Adam Pearce and Raquel Rodriguez. And Adam Pearce says, you're this close, but you're still not cleared. So Raquel, who insists that she wants Rhea, she's not cleared yet. And then you get Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. And I feel bad for Candice because she's about to get squashed by Rhea Ripley, if you saw tonight. They're like, you're this close. Hang in there. Don't worry about it. Hang in there. Then later on, Raquel Rodriguez is like, fuck hanging in there. She goes out to the ringside, starts beating on Rhea Ripley. We get a pull apart. Candice LeRae is out there. Suddenly Candice LeRae gives a shit, and she exchanges words for Rhea Ripley. Now, if you remember what Rhea Ripley with Liv Morgan, stay out of Judgment Day business. Candice LeRae tonight made a major mistake. Don't be surprised if next week Rhea Ripley beats the balls out of Candice LeRae. But we get the main event, and as I said earlier, you know, the Judgment Day in the main event again, Sami Zayn or Seth Rollins, or it's like kind of rinse and repeat. It's some combination. And tonight, Nakamura replaced Sami Zayn. So it's Cody Rhodes, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Seth Rollins versus the Judgment Day. The first 5 minutes of this match, it's all Shinsuke Nakamura. It was fun going up against Finn, which is always fun, especially if you think back to Japan. We get some Dom is a loser chant from the crowd. Dom's a loser. And Wade Barrett actually saying that Dominic is dating Rhea Ripley. Guys, I'm curious. How many times have we heard the commentators actually say that Dominic is dating Rhea Ripley? I honestly don't recall hearing that much ever. I mean, of course they're teasing it. That's why Buddy Matthews is getting so much bullshit online. But Wade Barrett saying that tonight, I thought it was interesting. I thought it was a little twist because, you know, it was always implied, but never really blatantly put out there. They, you know, you have fun with the rumors. Obviously, they're not really dating. Let's make that clear. But Seth finally tags in after Nakamura in the ring for 5 or 6 minutes. We're now around 10:51 p.m. We go to commercial and we get one of those double commercials, like I said earlier, and it's now 10:55 p.m. Seth Rollins tags in Cody. Cody gets the hot tag, hits a disaster kick and a power slam to Finn Balor. Finn blocks the first Cody Cutter, but doesn't block the second. He eats a Cody Cutter. Dom breaks up the two count. Seth Rollins with a flying forearm onto Damian Priest to the outside of the ring. So Damian Priest is pretty much out of this now. Finn Balor then clotheslines Seth Rollins outside the ring. Damian Priest, who's outside the ring, but he's still selling what Seth did to him, nails Cody a little bit with the briefcase, doesn't do much damage. But then Sami Zayn shows up and just starts brawling with Damian Priest. And Sami, obviously, with the elbow injury, could only do this with one hand. This allows Seth Rollins to nail Finn Balor with the briefcase. Cody Rhodes with Crossroads, and Finn Balor is pinned. The briefcase playing a heavy role in the main event tonight. And as we said yesterday, I say it again tonight, do not be surprised if you get Finn Balor versus Damian Priest for that briefcase. It could be coming to that. This is not news. It's just my opinion watching this and trying to think a little outside the box. But Finn Balor, you know, eating the briefcase again. Finn Balor is sick and fucking tired of that briefcase. You know, and what JD McDonagh said, maybe you should get rid of the briefcase. You know, obviously that's not going to happen. But if you remember my Abbey Road tribute, that thumbnail that I did, it still remains the same. Damian Priest is walking with the briefcase. Dominic Mysterio is walking with the NXT North American Championship. Rhea Ripley is walking with the World Women's Championship. And Finn Balor is walking with a paper bag. At the end of the night, Finn Balor is still walking with a paper bag. But it was a fun episode of Raw. I mean, it was really, really a solid show from top to bottom. Had a lot of good moments. Here's a random stat that kind of blew me away that WWE posted from social media. And it made me think about something tonight. 230 million views on social media and 4 million hours of video consumed. Gives you an idea how much ad revenue that WWE banks online that even 10 years ago was pretty much almost non-existent. Think about Charlie Conway. I talked about Jerry McDivitt retiring about a month ago. The Vince McMahon lawyer, he's retiring. He's been with Vince since the 80s. We talked about it a month ago. I don't remember what episode it was, but he retired a month ago. Not trying to be rude, but we're talking Raw ratings, previews, and the history, and I'm out of here because we're already 77 minutes. But I saw you posting that multiple times. Yes, he's retiring. He's not involved in the current legal. He has some involvement with it, with Vince being subpoenaed, but not all. Because I will say this, Jerry McDivitt was involved with some of the transactions. And I know some people are focusing more on the use of the money and how WWE used it to pay out. It's more about everything with Vince. His actions, payouts, the way he's got involvement. But yes, he's retiring. All right. Some previews. First of all, if you are interested, this Friday, especially that Roman Reigns will be on, especially that Jimmy Uso, I don't know if he'll reveal all his cards Friday, but obviously it's going to be a big night Friday. Then you got AJ versus Cross. Then you got Santos Escobar versus Austin Theory. I am bringing it back this Friday. We are going to do a watch party. It is playback.tv/Don Tony Show. It's free, and this is not a watch-along. If you've never been part of one of these, and I haven't done this since February, but what this is we all watch SmackDown. You don't watch me. You know, like you watch, go on YouTube and you watch alongs for like SummerSlam. All you see is the host during the whole time. Here, you actually watch SmackDown. Now, if the turnout sucks Friday, I'm just going to say it. If it sucks Friday, that's it. They're not coming back. If the turnout is good Friday, then I will continue and keep these going. It'll continue into next week. Maybe we'll do NXT next week. We'll definitely do SmackDown next Friday. But, you know, this is a lot of work and a lot of time. And honestly, you know, if it's not a good turnout, it's one and done. So you're welcome to join me. And it doesn't cost anything. But if you want to be part of it, because a lot of people were asking for it, you know, but then again, a lot of people ask and then they don't show up. So, all right, NXT tomorrow, some previews, and this is a big deal. Dominic Mysterio will be defending the NXT North American Championship against Dragon Lee. Rhea Ripley will be in Dominic's corner, and Rey Mysterio will, in fact, be in Dragon Lee's corner. As we talked about yesterday, Rey Mysterio is fine, and he will definitely be at NXT. Also, tomorrow, we got a couple of other matches. This is kind of goofy. Noam Dar, who has the fake Heritage Cup, he's putting it on the line against Tyler Bate. Why would Tyler Bate want to fight for a fake cup? I don't know. We got Mustafa Ali taking on Axiom. We also have Von Wagner taking on Bron Breakker, which is going to be a lot of fun. And then two women's matches. Kalani Jordan over. Well, you know what? She is a little over, but I'm waiting for Dana Brooke to turn on her. She's going to be taking on Blair Davenport And then also tomorrow we have Kiana James taking on Ivy Nile. So pretty loaded NXT tomorrow. I would have done a watch party tomorrow, but I didn't think it was enough time to hype it up. On the AEW side, this is what they are offering. We got the Hardys taking on the Young Bucks. MJF and Adam Cole will be appearing. Let's see if MJF reveals that he screwed Adam Cole with the contract signing last Wednesday. Hikaru Shida will be defending the AEW Women's World Championship against Anna Jay. The Lucha Bros will be taking on the Blackpool Combat Club of Claudio Castagnoli and John Moxley. Rob Van Dam will be taking on Jack Perry for the FTW Championship. FTW rules, which means, you know, clusterfuck, and I say that as a compliment. Then we get the return of the Jericho Appreciation Society mandatory meeting. All right, so that is your preview for AEW Dynamite. Some ratings, some quick ratings. By the way, we do not have Impact or New Japan as of yet. A little bit delayed for this week. I should have them by Wednesday. As of right now, I plan on doing a show Wednesday. But, you know, we got to see what comes out of NXT and AEW. But I expect to be part of that. Raw last week, I got some interesting tidbits on the ratings. Raw last week did 1,759,000. A little bit lower than usual. The week prior was 1,818,000, which is pretty much their average for the extended 2023. 1.85 has been pretty much, I think, their average for 2023. Check this out. Last week, the high point was the Judgment Day promo and Rhea Ripley beating down Raquel Rodriguez. That did 1,969,000 viewers. The low point of last week's Raw was Tommaso Ciampa taking on Shinsuke Nakamura. Now, check this out. Actually, it wasn't the lowest part, but had the biggest decline. The lowest part of the night was the main event. Sami Zayn and Seth Rollins versus Damian Priest, Dominic Mysterio. It only did 1,628,000. But what I wanted to tell you about Ciampa, because you got to be careful about Ciampa. We've talked about this with Bronson Reed. Maybe that's why he's starting to get jobbed out. We talked about this with Rey Mysterio on SmackDown, which has been very interesting. Rey Mysterio has been involved in the lowest part of SmackDown for the last 4 out of 5 appearances that he's been on TV. Bloodline obviously dominates, but to be the lowest, that's not good. Him versus Cross, lowest. Him versus Santos, lowest. Believe it or not, I'm not kidding. But check this out. Ciampa versus Nakamura last week. That followed the Judgment Day promo and Rhea beating down Raquel Rodriguez. As soon as Shinsuke and Ciampa had their match, they had 280,000 viewers leave. Soon as their match ended, 160,000 of those viewers returned. You had almost 300,000 viewers change the channel during Nakamura versus Ciampa. And unfortunately, that's more on Ciampa than Nakamura, because if you've paid attention, Bronson Reed and Ciampa's name have come up a few times. That's why Gargano, they got to put him back on TV ASAP. If they're going to do the DIY reunion, you know, what are they waiting for? What are they waiting for? NXT last week did 717, which is up from the week prior, 703. The high point of last week, Roxanne Perez's promo and the segment with the Schism and the Creed brothers. Got to feel good for the Schism. I think this is the first time ever they've been involved in the highest point of the show. They did 771,000 viewers. The low point of last week, unfortunately, Tony D'Angelo and Stax getting attacked, and Lyra Valkyria versus JC Jane, the first half of that match, that did 688. But the good news about that is they pretty much maintained their viewers the whole night. Dynamite last week did 894,000 viewers. That is slightly down from the week prior's 898. The high point of last week, MJF and Adam Cole's contract signing, the MJF promo, that did 964,000 viewers. The low point of last week, hate to say it, Tony Storm versus Hikaru Shida, 806,000 viewers. We don't have New Japan. We don't have Impact. We'll get into it later this week. Rampage this past Friday, it's been up and down. It's almost like Otis's Caterpillar. They're in the threes, they're in the fours. They're in the fours, they're in the threes. They're in the threes, they're in the fours. This week they scored 434, which is up from the week prior's 324. The high point from Friday was Keith Lee and the Hardys versus the Butcher, the Blade, and Kip Sabian. It did 456,000 viewers. The low point of Rampage was AR Fox and Swerve Strickland's match that did 412. SmackDown Friday, you'll appreciate this one. SmackDown Friday did 2,249,000 viewers. That is slightly down from the week prior's 2,323,000, about 80,000 viewers, not a big amount. The low point was Zelina Vega versus Io Sky, which did 2,115,000. After that fucking loud razor, I don't blame some people for changing the channel. The high point from last week, nope, not an Uso. Not Jey Uso, not Solo Sikoa, not Paul Heyman. The high point from last week's SmackDown, LA Knight versus Sheamus, 2,399,000. LA Knight can have some bragging rights this week. He was the highest for this past Friday SmackDown. He outdrew the Bloodline. Collision obviously happened over the weekend. We don't have that rating yet. We'll have it for Wednesday. But the week prior, they did 739,000. Nice. Keep going. Get him in the door. Try to keep him in the door. Stop with the Action Andretti's and some dumb fucks and, you know, names that are better suited for Dynamite or Rampage. You know, you don't want to see that 100,000 dip and then it's a hard struggle to get them back. But interesting. July 29th's rating, 739. The high point was MJF and Adam Cole versus FTR for the AEW Tag Team Championships. That did 837,000 viewers. Nice. 837 for the main event of Dynamite, of Collision. What does that show you? That was the final match of Collision. If you put on something strong, they will come. Stop with the Saturday night. Oh, people are out, this and that. You had 837,000 people watching that main event. They were home. They weren't in a restaurant and say, hey, could you turn that to TNT? They weren't in a club like, hey, could you turn off the music video and put on fucking Collision? No, they're home. They're home. People are home. The low point, though, yeah, this is twice now. Darby Allin versus Minoru Suzuki. Darby Allin, once again, it's weird. On Dynamite, many times he's part of the highest. And on Collision, this is the second time now that he's part of the lowest. 677,000 viewers. So, figured I'd share that with you. All right. This is going to be quick. I don't want to get into it too much. I'm just going to show you a couple of pictures, just give you an overview. I think what I show you is strong enough why you should consider tuning into This Week in Wrestling History. This Week in Wrestling History is Hulk Hogan's debut in pro wrestling. That's a big deal. Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream. He loses the WCW Heavyweight Championship against Ric Flair. Might have even been the NWA Championship. Actually, yeah, it was the NWA Championship. Ric Flair dethrones Dusty to get the belt back. Obviously, Hulk Hogan, the NWO, you're going to have to tune in for that. We had some debuts in the WWE. Junkyard Dog made his WWE debut. Razor Ramon made his WWE debut. Owen Hart made his WWE debut, WWF. We had the match between Brock Lesnar and Hulk Hogan happen this week in history. R-Truth, Ron Killings making history, becoming the first ever black NWA heavyweight champion. Born to Be Wired, the wildest match possibly in ECW history, Terry Funk versus Sabu. I think a lot of people forget that Sabu won the heavyweight title that night. Born to Be Wired, very, very crazy match to happen this week in history. Also, this week in history, Billy Corgan became the president of Impact Wrestling. We had some interesting stuff go down with the ECW invasion of TNA. We had Ravishing Rick Rude become a part of D-Generation X. This week in history, Rocky Maivia, The Rock, became a member of the Nation of Domination. We have some audio highlights of that. And we had three more. And one of the three is my favorite Raw moment of all time. It has never changed. It's not Aaron Rex, who made his Impact debut this week in history. It's not the Submission Sorority. I almost said society. Was it sorority or society? No, the Submission Society. Anybody remember that? Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, Paige. The Submission Society. It was society, right? It's got to be. Because sorority, I think, would be too many letters in the background. For people that don't remember that, WWE made a faction of Becky Lynch, Charlotte, and Paige and called it the Submission Society. They did not realize that that was some Triple X movie or some major porn aspect of it. So when you Googled Submission Society, you got nothing but Pornhub. So they had to change it pretty much immediately. So, they changed it to PCB. Paige, Charlotte, Becky, they had three letters. But before that, it was the Submission Society or Sorority, whatever it is. But, yeah, you could look that up. You got to be 18 and older if you want to look up that history. But my favorite moment in WWE history for Monday Night Raw, Chris Jericho makes his WWE debut, having that confrontation with The Rock. Yes, we share the audio highlights, and it still gives me chills to this day when you hear that crowd erupt when the countdown went to zero and that big Jericho name popped up on the TitanTron and Jericho came out and had that confrontation with The Rock. This happened this week in history. Greatest moment for me in the history of Raw. Chris Jericho's WWE debut. So that is your preview for this week in history. And I think we are done. No super chats for tonight. That's okay. I will be back here with video. You know, it's interesting because it's like we do a splurge of back-to-back-to-back shows on YouTube, and then we take, you know, a couple of days off. So I'll be back here on Saturday. But in the meantime, check me out on Patreon tomorrow, patreon.com/DonTony. I'll be up there. It'll be a regular show. You know, since Kevin and I did the SummerSlam review yesterday. And once again, if you haven't checked that out yet, DonTony.com or any audio platform where you get the audio shows. And join us for the SmackDown Watch Party Friday. So I'll be moderating. I'll be mingling. I'll be hanging out. And we'll see what the turnout is. And we'll go from there. But with that said, Submission Society. That's what it was. Yeah, it was an adult film. That's what it was. It was kind of weird at the time when you Googled it and nothing but X-rated. See, that's the thing. Like, you look back on that. Obviously, Becky, Charlotte, Paige, they're in a meeting with WWE. And they're going over names of what the group should be. How does WWE Creative or Becky or Paige or Charlotte, how nobody does a search, at least to see if anybody in wrestling used the name before. I remember covering it with Kev. As soon as we Googled it, it was kind of like, did they bother, like, looking? I mean, there was nothing but adult content on the screen. Thank God I was single at that time. Because when we're on Raw and I'm preparing notes for the shows, my computer screen is on and my wife is sitting right next to me. Was I single at the time? No, she wasn't living with me. So, yeah, I was by myself in my house. It would have been kind of embarrassing. I'm doing research and she looks at my screen and you see people going like this. So, all right, guys, it's been a blast the last couple of days. I thank you, as always, for the support. I'm going to jet out of here, rest my voice a little bit, and either I'll see you all tomorrow on Patreon, or we got Wednesday Night Dynamite, and if not, Friday, watch party. We'll open up the floor or the stage about 7:55 p.m. Eastern to get everybody situated. It'll just be me on the floor. Everybody will be chatting in a text, but I'll be on the floor moderating and chatting, and we'll see what goes down with the bloodline, and we'll go from here. But, yeah, at least we didn't get any viruses. I can't remember the last... Do you still all get viruses, or you get any type of malware when you visit adult sites? I mean, I'm not... I mean, once in a while, I go on a wrestling site, and a page will get blocked for some reason. I'm like, wow, you know, I'm kind of taken back that a wrestling news site would have, you know, some type of malware alert. But I can't remember the last time going on, like, one of these... I don't go on them much anymore, but I can't remember the last time I got, like, a malware alert from adult content online. Do you still get that with, like, Pornhub and stuff? I'm a little curious. So, all right, everybody. I'm out of here. Have a good night. Much love as always. And I'll catch you all again on the next show. Be well. Take it easy.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.